presenting Charles Boyer.
Hello, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Michel. La
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting a new series starring Charles Boyer as Michel.
Waiter.
Monsieur?
Will you take my order, please?
Yes, monsieur.
I'm not very hungry tonight. I'd like something light. Let me see. To begin, consommé with caviar, then lots of cardinal, then a double lamb chop with mushroom sauce, that's all. Oh, with a fish, a light Alsatian wine. 1937 was a good year.
It was an excellent year.
Well, what are you standing there for? Bring me my supper.
No, monsieur.
No?
The management has advised the entire staff not to serve you without payment in advance.
But am I to understand that the Duc de Consigny does not enjoy the credit of this establishment?
As for the Duc de Consigny, I cannot say.
I am the Duc de Consigny.
But last week when you did not pay your check, you were the Baron de Montfichard.
Well, my friend, I tell you, my mind is imaginative. Unfortunately, my stomach is not such a dreamer. You see before you a starving man. You can save my life with a teaspoon of caviar.
The answer is no.
Even red caviar?
Not so much as a frouton without payment in advance, including the
fuel. Oh, waiter, come back.
Yes, sir, Monsieur Conway?
You will bring the Duc de Consigny his supper.
Where?
Exactly as he ordered it. Put it on my account.
Yes, Monsieur Conway, immediately.
Do you mind if I join you, Michel?
Under the circumstances, how could I refuse? But then, why should I want to?
Oh, I need your help, Michel. I must send a story back to the States tomorrow, and I don't have an idea in my head.
Ah, so you want me to sing for my supper?
In a manner of speaking. The usual arrangement.
Yes. Well, we are both authors, Mr. Conway. You compose your stories in a typewriter. I live mine.
Ah.
When your story is done, you have a sheaf of pages, which you can sell for a fortune to a magazine. When my story is done, I have only memories. And if I'm lucky, a teaspoon of caviar.
And, of course, $200, which I pay you for every story.
Of course. Tell me, Mr. Conway, have you ever gambled at Monte Carlo?
Oh, naturally.
Well, then perhaps you will enjoy my adventure with a slide rule blonde.
That is Michel, adventurer, bon vivant, connoisseur of words, wine, and women. Our Michel is a familiar sight on the boulevards of Paris, and the rumor is that he was born wearing a top hat, white tie, and tail. Michel, in the person of Mr. Charles Boyer, is perhaps the most fascinating barnacle ever to fasten on the ship of Parisian society. There he sits, in the Tour d'Argent, impeccable and impecunious, telling a story to his author friend, Bart Conway.
The Adventure of the Slide Rule Blonde.
Can't you see that caption on your story?
But by a slide rule, you mean...
A slide rule? And by blonde, I mean a blonde.
One of those little gadgets that mathematicians use to multiply?
And I've never heard of a blonde described in quite that light.
I mean the slide rule.
Oh, yes. The slide rule is a thin, white ruler, perhaps 10 inches long, with figures all over it.
Ah.
You can solve all kinds of problems if you know how to use a slide rule, which I do not.
But, Michel, what has this to do with a blonde?
That, my friend, is the story. Shall I continue?
Please do.
Well, you've been to Monte Carlo. Then you know that the gambling casino sits atop a cliff overlooking the Mediterranean. was a mild summer night, very much as it is tonight. And my billfold was without funds, very much as it is tonight. What a sad feeling it is, my friend, to wander among the roulette tables, to see millions of francs changing hands on a turn of the wheel, and to feel not a cent in the pocket with which to tempt the affections of Dame Fortune. In this rather despondent mood, I struck up a conversation with my old friend, Wolfgang, the manager of the casino.
Gentlemen, place your bet.
Well, good evening, Wolfgang.
Oh, good evening, Michel. How is your luck tonight?
I have no way of knowing.
Well,
shattered.
Then do an old friend a favor. If you're planning to kill yourself, kindly go across the border to do it. Suicide did my casino such a bad.
Nah, you should know me better than that. I might end my life over something important, such as a woman. But to dash myself off your cliff because of mere bankruptcy? Never.
I think to be like it too.
Gentlemen, I don't suppose I could prevail upon you to loan me.
No, Michel. You would only gamble it away on my roulette wheel, and you would lose.
Perhaps not.
Always the gambler loses. You may have a winning suit now and then. The chips may be stacked high before you, but the next spin of the wheel will go against you. Your pile of chips will dwindle, and finally, the banker takes everything.
You never gamble?
Only on a sure thing, and roulette is a sure thing for the banker.
But doesn't all this money sometimes depress you?
Money never depresses me, especially when it's coming my way.
But think of all the income tax you have to pay.
A citizen in Monte Carlo pays no taxes.
What?
Our little country is smaller than a square mile, and the tourists spend enough here to pay our whole cost of government. So, no taxes.
Well, I pay no taxes.
Why? I did not know you were a fellow countryman.
I'm not, but I have a system for avoiding income tax.
What is it?
I have no income.
Ingenious.
Oh, will you excuse me, Wolfgang? I want to stroll about and observe the play.
Nonsense. You want to stroll about and observe that attractive blonde who just came in the casino.
Now, Wolfgang, you're altogether too ancient to notice such things. I beg your pardon. Marguerite.
My name isn't Marguerite.
Oh, forgive me. I thought you were an old friend of mine from Paris.
I'm an American.
Ah, delightful country, America. Are you alone?
Yes.
Oh, how sad. There are two nationalities which should never be alone. Americans and Frenchmen.
Are you French?
How did you guess? Permit me to introduce myself. My name is Michel.
Oh, how do you do? Say, do they know you here? I mean, is the manager a friend of yours?
Naturally.
Well, then, would you stay very close to me and pretend that you're my escort?
Oh, I shall be honored.
They won't be so likely to throw me out if they think you're with me.
Why should they want to throw you out?
Oh, they'll want to murder me after what I'm going to do to them.
I don't understand.
You will, Mike, you will. Now, let's see. First of all, we have to find a croupier with a nice, kind face.
Ladies and gentlemen, please see your bet.
Ooh, they all have faces like old hot water bottles. Ah, there's one. Across the casino, the man with the Airedale eyes. He'll be friendly.
But why must he be friendly?
Well, so he won't be angry when I take all his chips away from him.
What? Oh, I see. Mademoiselle, I don't wish to be inquisitive, but have you ever played roulette before?
No.
Hmm. Well, I hope you have plenty of money.
Have I got plenty of money? Say, croupier, I want some chips, please.
How many, mademoiselle?
$5,000 worth.
My dear young lady, you must be worth millions.
Oh, this is all the money I have in the world. What? I borrowed this on my insurance policy.
Then I cannot allow you to gamble it away. $100, yes. Even 200, but 5,000.
Ah, now don't you worry, you cute little
girl. Here you are, mademoiselle. 1,666,666 francs.
67. The exchange went up 200 to the mill this morning.
Oh, very well. 67.
Yes. Okay, now what's the limit, Sam?
Huh? Oh, 5,000 francs on any single number.
Okay, I'll put 5,000 francs on number 13.
No, mademoiselle, please. I don't even know your name, but I cannot stand by and allow you to bet so recklessly.
Now, don't fret, Junior. I've got a system.
Every fool who comes to Monte Carlo has a system, or thinks he has. But they all fail. They always lose their shirt.
Well, I don't wear a shirt. Here, hold this book.
What is it?
My table.
Your table?
Of probabilities. I have to keep both hands free to work my slide rule.
I don't understand.
The winning number is 13.
What? Black and odd.
You won.
Well, of course I won.
180,000 francs.
Only single turn of the wheel. Oh, you must stop. Now, come on, come on. Take your winnings and leave.
Don't be a fool. I might be having a start.
Ladies and gentlemen, place your bet.
Now, just hold a minute, Sam. Now, just a minute. I got to do some fast figuring here. Turn the page 197.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
13 squared times n to the 13th power of the cube root of 13, divided by the probability factor.
Well, what do you think you're doing?
Well, I'm getting the next winning number on my slide rule. It's 31. Quick, 5,000 francs on number 31.
The winning number is 31, black and odd.
Oh, did you see what that girl did? She has a limit on two winners in a row.
She's made over a third of a million.
Oh, I never saw anything. I love it.
What incredible luck.
Well, I like that. Luck has absolutely nothing to do with it. This is pure science.
That's absurd.
Well, I'll do it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, place your bet.
I've got to figure this out. N times 13 plus 31, cubed over the square root of the product to the 18th power. It'll be 9. 9's going to be the winner this time.
All right, well, place your bet.
Ooh, I almost forgot about that part. 5,000 francs for number 9.
Huh? Well, what is it? What is the number?
The number is 9. Red and odd.
Holy smoke.
Well, what is everybody so excited about? I told you it would be a 9.
Michel, would you come here a moment, please?
Of course, Wolfgang. Excuse me, mademoiselle.
Yes, sure. Let's see now. 13 times 31 times
9. Michel, get her away from the wheel.
But why? Why, my friend? You told me yourself the banker always wins.
This girl does something with a slide rule that the bank doesn't know about.
She's perfectly honest.
No doubt, but in an hour I shall be perfectly bankrupt.
Well, what is it worth for you, Wolfgang, if I take her away from the table?
5,000 francs?
Sorry, I cannot hear a word you sing.
10,000.
Hmm?
50.
The reception is getting clearer. I'll be right over. Wolfgang,
yes.
Shall we say 50,000?
Yes, 50,000, but get her away from the roulette table.
No one.
Oh, I really shouldn't. But you know, it tastes so good. Same what I usually drink.
What do you usually drink?
Soda pop.
But the south of France is very famous for its soda pop. Have some more.
Well, you insist.
There we are.
Say, why were you so anxious for me to stop playing roulette?
Oh, well, you seem to be getting tired.
Oh, I was just getting warmed up. Come on, let's go back.
Wait, one moment.
Huh?
Please, is it possible for you to sit here in the starlight, looking out across the ageless Mediterranean, and not be moved by the beauty of the sea?
Well, I gotta admit, it's pretty pretty.
The Romans called it Mare Nostrum, our sea. Well, we can pretend that we are Romans tonight, and that the breakers rolling against the sand belong to our sea.
Why, Mike, you're a regular Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
You realize I don't even know your name? What is it?
Yes.
Miss...
No.
Not Missy?
Nope.
Well, there must be something that my mother did not tell me.
I'm a doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Pontus Claudine. B-S-M-A-P-H-D.
These are your initials?
These are my degrees. I'm professor of higher mathematics at Norwood College.
Oh, very bad. I'm glad to know you, Dr. Plunkett.
Well, you see, now, that's what happens with every man I meet.
What happens?
As soon as they find out I'm a doctor, they freeze up. I'm too smart. No guy can have a good time with a girl who knows that A over sine A equals B over sine B equals C over sine C.
Oh, that is not true, Dr. Plunkett.
Yes, it is. All the time it happens. How can a man get romantic, put his arms around the girl, put his lips close to hers, and say, I love you, Dr. Plunkett.
I love you, Dr. Plunkett.
You do? Oh, no, you don't. You're just saying that. We don't have a thing in common. Well, I bet you don't even know the Pythagorean theorem.
Oh, but my darling, the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares on the other two sides.
Oh, that's the nicest thing anybody ever said to me.
Come here. Come closer, Dr. Plunkett.
Oh, my. Do it again.
Well.
Yes?
Well, this is a fine welcome, I must say.
Oh, hello, Harry. Go away now, we're busy. Do it again, Mike. Square the hypotenuse.
One moment, please. It cost me $309.87 to fly to Monte Carlo by air coach, only to find you in a dubious state of sobriety and in the arms of another man. What am I to think?
Dr. Plunkett, who is this fellow?
Harry? Oh, he's nobody. He's a pet. He's just the guy I'm going to marry.
Thank you, dear. But the least you could do is introduce me to this man and offer some sort of explanation.
All right. Harry, this is Mike. Mike, this is Harry. Now, will you go in and you're alone, please?
That is the one thing which I have no intention of doing.
One moment, Monsieur...
Nagel. Professor Harry G. Nagel, head of the Department of Ethical Philosophy at Norwich College.
Ethical philosophy. Yes. Well, frankly, Professor Nagel, I do not believe that you're going to marry this girl.
Well, I'm in love with her.
If you were in love with her, you'd be more happy to see her. Why, you haven't even kissed the lady.
Yes, you haven't even kissed the lady.
Oh. Well, I'm glad to see you again, dear.
That was a kiss.
Oh, Harry, it was sweet of you to come flying all the way across the Atlantic just to see me.
Well, it was awfully rough. And you know, my stomach isn't very good anyway.
Oh, poor Harry.
Well, I'm glad you've seen the error of your ways, Claudine. And we'll get a plane out of here first thing in the morning.
What do you mean, the error of my ways?
Why, running off and gambling.
No, Harry, you didn't.
I certainly could never condone
behavior.
You've
got your nerve.
Not knowing
quiet. Well, maybe you are in love. You'll fight it if you are.
All right, Claudine. Stay here. Gamble. All I want to know is, what's going to happen with the earthworms?
The earthworms?
The earthworms?
Yes.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about the earthworms.
Forgive me, perhaps I'm not very bright, but what do earthworms have to do with this?
I can see you aren't a very regular reader of the bi-monthly report of the Academy of Physical Sciences.
I confess I only glance at the headlines.
My fiancée is making scientific history with her mathematical method of predicting the sex of unborn earthworms.
Oh, it's not so much.
Not so much? Why, it's the most revolutionary research in the whole field of probability.
I do it with the slide rule.
What? She does it with a slide rule. Dr. Plunkett has been able to predict the sex of unborn earthworms with an accuracy of 97.453%.
Really?
454.
Yes.
Forgive me, dear. Next, she will apply the Plunkett theory to predicting the sex of unborn guinea pigs. And I ask you, sir, how far is it from a guinea pig to a human being?
Well, I have never measured the exact distance.
Oh, darling, I cannot believe that you would give up your earthworms for this.
I beg your pardon.
Harry Nagel, can't you understand there's no money in earthworms?
Unless you want to go fishing with them.
Can I help it if the same formula I invented for the earthworms also works on a roulette wheel? All I want to do is make $100,000 and quit. That's all. Then I'll devote the rest of my life to pure science. But earthworms aren't enough. I want to have a mink coat.
Good for you.
Whoever heard of a mathematician with a mink coat?
Oh, Harry Z. Nagel, you make me so mad. I could... Oh, now look what you've done. I've got mascara all over my face. Now I have to go to the powder room. Oh, you...
Wonderful girl.
Marvelous.
Are you interested in her?
I'm a Frenchman. How can I look at her without being interested?
I mean, you're not interested in marrying her.
What a typical American idea.
Oh, thank heaven. I've been in love with her for 7.5 years. But do you realize we did our master's thesis together?
Really?
I've asked her to marry me at least 50 times, but I can't get her to
take the plunge.
Well, Professor Nagel, perhaps if you were to inject a more Gallic flavor into your lovemaking.
Gallic?
Well, borrow some of the romanticism of the French. Make love to your lady in a leisurely, relaxed, soothing manner.
Oh, but I don't have the patience.
My friend, it appears of the heart. The only way to be in a hurry is to take your time. Now, first, you choose a romantic location. This balcony is perfect. Starlight, the ocean beneath. You begin merely by holding her hand.
And then I suppose you tell her how much you love her.
Not yet. You say, my darling, what is the enchantment in your eyes? They are as blue as Lacombe. And your hair is like the sunrise along the Pyrenees.
Calls for quite a knowledge of geography, doesn't it?
Quite. Then you say, just to be near you, my love, is to enjoy the fragrance of apple blossom in the spring. The touch of your hand is like the caressing warmth of the breeze in summer.
Do you feel that women like this sort of talk?
I have good reason to believe they do.
Well, I'm glad to see you boys are getting to know each other.
Oh, Claudine, your friend was just telling me about...
Yes, about the agriculture and geography of my native farm.
I'll bet. Well, I just don't know what to do. Harry, why are you looking at me like that?
My darling, your eyes are like sunrise on Lake Michigan.
Why, Henry, what a perfectly darling thing to say.
Well, I trust that both of you will excuse me now.
Oh, must you leave, Mike?
I have a debt to collect from the fang, but good luck to both of you.
Goodbye, Mike. Sweetheart, your hair is like a corn silk on the 4th of July. And your
ankles... Wolfgang!
What luck have you had?
Pay me the 50,000 francs. I can assure you that Slidewood Blonde will not play roulette again.
How did you manage it?
Quite simple. I'm marrying her.
What?
To somebody else.
Guess what? We're going to get married.
Immediately.
Nothing to surprise me, Liz.
You know, I don't know what came over Harry, but he got so romantic all of a sudden.
That's amazing. It works. She's agreed to become Mrs. Professor Harry D. Nagel.
Well, congratulations to you both. I hope that you and your earthworms will be very happy.
Thank you. We've got one problem, though.
Yes?
We don't know what to do with the money.
But the money?
The money I want to let, the 2 million francs. That's almost $60,000, you know.
Yes, and what can we do with it?
Well, have you considered spending it?
Oh, never. I couldn't touch a cent of that money. Why, it's tainted.
Tainted?
For how could I face my students in ethical philosophy if I, or my wife, had profited by such ill-gotten gains?
Harry's very ethical.
Well, perhaps I can be of service. What if we dispose of the money in the same way you received it?
At roulette?
Impossible. I wouldn't go near those wicked wheels.
Let me do it for you. I will take your 2 million francs and gamble it away for you personally.
Oh, Mike, you're a dreamboat.
So I see, of course. I normally charge 10,000 francs to lose a fortune.
Ladies and gentlemen, place your bets.
Tell me, Fouquier. What number has not come up all evening?
Zero, monsieur. The Count Montague just lost $500,000 on zero.
Oh, very good, then. I shall bet the limit on zero.
What are you up to, Michel?
I'm doing you a favor, Wolfgang. I'm returning your money to you.
Me?
The Slidewood Blonde has decided she doesn't want her winnings. So I've agreed to fritter away a fortune for her.
For a fee?
Ah, of course.
The winning number is zero.
What?
Is this the way you do me a favor?
Oh, believe me, I didn't mean to win. Coupier, put my winnings on number 13. That's very unlucky. I'm sure to lose.
For your sake, I hope so.
Winning number is 13, Black and
Oh, no, no. Well, I'll put the limit on 7. That's lucky. Maybe I'll lose.
Winning number is 7, Reginald.
Oh, this is a catastrophe.
You're playing her system.
But my system is no system. Can I help it if I have a winning streak? 23. The limit on 23. I've never won anything on 23 in all my life.
The winning number is 23, Reginald.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Cheap, cheap! 20 million francs you've taken from me!
How's that? Why, Mike, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
That's a pretty unethical thing to do. You promised to lose our money, and instead you go out and make our fortune even bigger.
Sorry.
Well, we have a name for this kind of thing back home. The double cross.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. Every number I picked was a winner.
What are we going to do now? Harry and I can't get married until we get rid of the money.
I couldn't have it on my conscience.
All right, I'll try again.
No.
I beg you, Michelle, stay away from my roulette wheels. One more win and you'll break the bank.
How much do we have now?
20 million francs.
In American currency, that's...
$600,000.
I have an idea. Professor Needle, are you an American citizen?
Why, of course.
Then your troubles are over. All you have to do is take this money...
I refuse.
And I wait. Declare it as income on your tax return. As you know, anybody who makes $600,000 in 1 year in the United States can only keep about 1%.
Oh, how about that? I forgot about the good old income tax. The government will take all but $6,000.
And you had $5,000 to begin with.
Oh, but what will we do with $1,000 that's left over?
By a strange coincidence, that is exactly the fee from my service.
Oh, how wonderful. Now we can be married and we don't have any money. Isn't it heaven?
Oh, and we owe it all to you, Michelle. How can we ever repay you?
You have already paid the first installment, and your happiness will pay all the others.
Well, you solved everything for them, Michelle, but what about the management of the casino? After all, they're the ones who paid the $600,000 to the American government.
Oh, don't worry about them, Mr. Conway. They'll get it back.
How?
Ever hear of the Marshall Plan?
Oh, Michelle, you have an answer for everything. Well, here's your $200.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, what did you do with your $1,000? Did you lose it?
That I did, as a matter of fact. Although at 4:30 in the morning, I was ahead of a million francs.
Hmm.
And my play was interrupted.
By whom?
Well, by a very strange-looking man. A man I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful girl was with him. A girl I knew only too well.
Go on.
Go on? Ah, no. No, Miss Conway. That is another story. And another $200.
Charles Boyer will soon be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. In the role of Bart Conway, you heard Hanley Spafford. Also in the cast are Mary Jane Croft, Jack Edwards, Herbert Butterfield, Fritz Feld, Paul Marion, and Viola Vaughn. Our show was directed by Nat Wolf. Tonight's script was written by Robert E. Lee. Characters of Michelle and Bart Conway were created by Ernest Boggia and Clement Scott Gilbert. Listen again next week at this time to Presenting Charles Boyer. John Stern, stay tuned from Murder in the Negative. It's Big Town on NBC.